Welcome to an original musical production for the Easter season, The Disciple Whom Jesus Loves, a multi-part story of the light that could not be overcome, told through the eyes of the one who never looked away. Brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. Part 11.
For the Feast of Tabernacles, one of the three great pilgrim festivals, Jesus had come to Jerusalem in secret, for the authorities were now actively seeking his life.
Do you see him?
No, he said to go ahead without him, but I didn't think he meant to stay away entirely.
He'll come. You must be careful, that's all. Look out, there are some religious leaders coming our way.
Where is that Galilean? This would be the perfect time to arrest him, with so many witnesses to his blasphemy.
Perhaps it's better if he doesn't come. The danger is too great.
He will come. There's purpose in everything he does.
As we were speaking, the water ceremony procession began. Priests moved through the temple courts carrying golden vessels, headed toward the Pool of Siloam to draw water. Temple musicians played instruments. The crowd sang joyfully.
Isn't that the teacher from Galilee?
People turned to look. Word spread quickly. Soon a crowd gathered around Jesus. We noticed the commotion and made our way toward him, relieved.
Rabbi, we've heard of the miracles you performed in Galilee. Will you show us a sign here in Jerusalem?
How can this man teach with authority? He has no proper training.
My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own.
But you defiled the law.
I did one miracle, and you are all amazed. Yet you circumcise a child on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses may not be broken. Why then are you angry with me for healing a man's whole body on the Sabbath?
Isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Yet here he is, speaking openly, and they are not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Messiah?
But we know where this man is from. When the Messiah comes, no one will know where he is from.
Yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own authority, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him, and he sent me.
Why have you not arrested him?
No one ever spoke the way this man does.
If anyone thirsts, let them come to me. Let them drink who believe in my name. The scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow.
Rivers of living water, flowing with mercy and grace. Rivers of living.
Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or Pharisees believed in him? This crowd that does not know the law, they are accursed.
Does our Lord judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does?
I cannot believe this, Nicodemus. Are you also from Galilee? No prophet can come from Galilee.
Rabbi, it's not safe here. They were trying to arrest you.
There is still work to be done. My time has not yet fully come.
Master, there's a commotion at the treasury. The scribes have brought a woman they say was caught in adultery. They're asking for your judgment.
Each confrontation raised the stakes. Each time they tried to trap him, he turned their questions back on them. His words about living water resonated with me in ways I couldn't yet articulate. Only after Pentecost did I truly understand what he meant by rivers flowing from within. But first, we would witness how he dealt with those trying to trap him, using a woman's life as bait.
Teacher, we have a matter that requires your judgment.
Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses commands us to stone such offenders. Now, what do you say?
Where is the man? Doesn't the law condemn both participants?
This isn't about justice. It's a trap.
Jesus did not immediately respond to the Pharisees. Instead, he stooped down and began writing in the dust of the temple floor with his finger. The accusers looked at each other, uncertain. One stepped forward impatiently.
Teacher, what is your judgment? Moses commands she be stoned.
What do you see when you look at her? A sinner condemned by the law. A victim to use for your purposes. Or a daughter of Abraham. What have I written here in the sand? Your secrets, your sins, your shame. The truth that you hide from others' eyes, but cannot hide from mine. Let any among you without sin be first to condemn her soul. Judgment returns to you. The mercy you withhold from others is mercy denied unto you.
Jesus knelt again and continued writing. One by one, accusers began to back away, their faces showing discomfort and conviction. The woman remained alone, still not looking up.
Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?
No one, sir.
Neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin.
What did you write in the sand?
What needed to be seen.
How did you do that? One moment they were ready to stone her, and the next they were leaving one by one.
When you hold up a mirror to a man's soul, he must either acknowledge what he sees or walk away.
You didn't condemn her, even though the law does.
I came not to condemn the world, but to save it.
The law says the penalty for adultery is death, yet you offered mercy instead.
The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through me.
What becomes of justice then?
Justice and mercy kissed at the moment of creation, John. They are not opponents, but partners in God's plan. Remember this woman when the day comes that you must choose between strict judgment and merciful love.
There he is, the one who sets himself above the law.
Master, we should leave now.
Jesus looked calmly at the approaching temple guards.
I will be with you only a little longer, and then I am going to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come.
Where does this man intend to go that we cannot find him? Will he go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks?
If anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.
I witnessed many confrontations between Jesus and religious authorities. but none affected me as deeply as this one. I saw how easily the law could become a weapon rather than a guide. I saw how Jesus upheld the law's purpose while refusing to participate in the woman's destruction. I began to understand something profound about the kingdom he proclaimed. It would be built not on ritual purity and rigid adherence to rules, but on transformed hearts capable of justice and mercy. The words he wrote in the sand that day are washed away by time, but the lesson remains written in my heart even now.
To be continued.